is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
It is I, Karen Cataline, on Friday. Do you thank God it's Friday? I don't know if I do. I probably do. Karen Cataline, you're listening to the flagship show of Spouting Off here on BBS Radio. Hope you're listening live, but either way, you can access it at KarenCataline.com. We always put up our shows on BBS Radio and the shows I do for Main Street Radio. There's a lot of shows I do that don't make it up to the website yet, but we're working on it. If you're counting, this is Spouting Off number 226. Can you believe it? I've done 226 episodes of Spouting Off, and I'm still learning how to do this better all the time because, you know, nobody teaches you how to do this. You just kind of fly by the seat of your pants, and when you screw up, you have to admit it. You know, that's something the left won't do. They won't ever admit when they screw up. But that is a totally other story. We're with Donald today, the other twin brother of Don and Doug Newsom of BBS Radio. Don, should we just, I just want to tell people about this goofy audio. We don't have the audio, right? Nope. Okay. If we don't, we may. I threw it at him at the very last minute. It's the audio that you may have heard by Anthony Fauci that said, if you disagree with me, you're disagreeing with science. Now, you don't have to hear his annoying voice in order to know that that is a godlike narcissist Marxist talking. So we're not allowed to disagree with the godlike Fauci, who tells us that if we dare to disagree, we're disagreeing with science, right? Now, it's true scientists usually are perfectly okay with being questioned, examining, looking at. All of that is out the window with these Marxists that we are dealing with. So I just wanted to point that out. We have, just so you know, oh, wait, we've got the audio of Faustian fascist Fauci telling us, shut up, do as I say. I wasn't elected to anything, but you have to listen to me, and I cannot be disagreed with. Go.
Back against me. So if you are trying to, you know, get at me as a public health official and a scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science and anybody.
Thank you so much for that, Donald. I really did throw that at him at the last minute. But you got to hear that voice. If you attack me, you're not only attacking Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science. Never mind that these loony leftists think there's a Heinz 57 number of genders. They don't think that, okay, there's a man, there's a woman, and they're the only ones who can make children. Don't worry about it. You have to create, you have to accept the alternate reality that I'm prescribing for you to live in. And honestly, the biggest question is, who died, made him God, and did we elect him to anything? Frankly, the dirty little secret is, I don't think we elected Biden to anything in 2020 either. But, you know, God forbid you say something so outrageous. It is truly like blasphemy to the cultist left to say that we didn't elect Biden to anything either. Well, the evidence keeps coming out. Yes, it does. Thank you, Donald Newsom, for that. Annoying little soundbite. So this morning, I think I wrote the fastest op-ed I think I've ever written. It is on my website at KarenCataline.com. And it's called Pivots, Privilege, and Propaganda. You know? Also, by the way, if you are not on my newsletter, I would love if you would go ahead and sign up for that, because then you'll get the advance on whatever I have running around in my cranium. I love hearing from you. If you disagree with my point of view, I totally love hearing from you, because after all, I can handle disagreement. Talk radio, we deal in disagreement. We welcome disagreement. The left is terrified of it by virtue of the fact that they are willing to shut people down, just like we remember in the old Soviet Union. They're willing to shut people down if they are disagreed with. And what they're really trying to do is make an example of people so that everyone will be terrified to disagree. So the piece, Pivots, Privilege, and Propaganda, I was moved to write this by an Huffington Post AOL article that I opened this morning that said, do fans and media have the right to know about a player's vaccination status? And then I read the article, which was tremendously irritating, to find out that the writer did indeed believe that. Now, he's masquerading as a reporter, but really he's writing an editorial, and he's claiming, just in the way that he writes this piece, that of course fans have a right to know about a player's, quote, vaccination status. Remember when the left made a cause celeb, this is the first sentence of my piece, of keeping the HIV status of mostly gay people private? Remember when they even passed a law in California that you did not have a responsibility? This is how insane California is and why people are moving away from California in droves. That you didn't have to disclose your, quote, HIV positive status to a sexual partner, even though you could give HIV to your partner. And in those days, that could have been tantamount to a death sentence. But California, because gay people were a protected victim group, you didn't have to. So HIV status was always the buzzword that they had back then. Now they've done a complete 180, and now it is your vaccine status that they're talking about. And of course you're obligated to disclose that, even though if you're one of those people that decided to get the vaccine and then get the booster after the vaccine, you shouldn't be afraid of coronavirus, should you? The vaccine should protect you, should it not? Never mind that people are being told now that if they had coronavirus and they recovered fully, which most everybody did, that they have antibodies that are even more plentiful than if they'd gotten the vaccine. And yet, the government is ignoring that, quote, science. I guess I have a real snarky attitude today. I apologize. They're ignoring that science in order to impose a broad brush kind of one-size-fits-all directive to the entire country and even the entire formerly free West. Formerly free Western states, countries. That alone should make people more suspicious than anything else. And it amazes me that there is this chasm, this Grand Canyon chasm between those of us who see the hypocrisy, see the cult-like belief in these vaccinations. They're not even vaccinations. The company themselves, the companies The pharmaceutical companies themselves even say they're not vaccinations. And yet, we are required not only to take them and do as we're told by a government that used to serve us rather than dictate to us, but we should look down our noses at anyone who refuses to take that vaccine and think for themselves. Much like this article in the HuffPo, do fans, media have the right to know about players' vaccination status? Oh no, he is defying the rules of basketball by going ahead and deciding for himself. His name, despite the social pressure, I am very, very pleased to read about it. His name is Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold. Do you know who that is? I don't know who that is. He's a player in the NFL. And people asked him, well, there's a ton of stuff that goes into it. I'm going to evaluate whether I take the vaccine and make the best decision that I feel is the best for myself, unquote. How dare you? How dare you do that? Make a decision that is best for yourself. See, that's really what this is about. And that's what I wrote about in my piece. It's about submission. It's about doing as you're told and erasing individual choice in the matter. Is that amazing? I must have the sniffles today. Note that the writer also uses the story to inform the public, quote, employers do have the right under U.S. law to force their employees to get vaccinated. So they want us to know that employers have the right under U.S. law to force their employees to get vaccinated. What the writer of this HuffPo piece, which is pure propaganda, neglects to tell you is that there are a flurry of lawsuits testing this in court right now. Anybody and everybody who is being told that they have to take this experimental vaccine as a condition of their employment, attorneys are clamoring to represent those people, including the very maligned Sidney Powell, who is looking for cases like that in order to represent people, I think, pro bono, free of charge. So that's what they're going for. Why? Because as the nurses in Houston, and there's over 100 of them, nurses who have seen the side effects of this vaccine, and they continue to find their way into the news, and yet the pro-vaccine cultists refuse to pay attention, refuse to acknowledge facts, refuse to acknowledge science, they make sure and ignore those facts. We are going to have to take a break in roughly 45 seconds, Don. Don is filling in today for Doug, so I have to just let him know that we're about to take a break. I know, because we always take a break a quarter after. When we come back, we're going to have a repeat visit from David Risalata, who let me know that his book is out. I was so impressed with the philosophical and the psychological aspects of this book. I wanted to have him on when his book came out, and sure enough, it's out. So we're going to talk about that at length right after this commercial break. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off Friday edition on BBS Radio.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at kstarradionetwork.com.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. You're listening to Karen Cataline, and this is episode 226. If you'd like to be on my newsletter list, and I promise you we don't send it anywhere else, we won't give your address to anyone, just go to KarenCataline.com, put your information in there so that we can send you a once-a-week newsletter, and all the other archives of at least most of the shows, not the ones out of New Hampshire. You got to listen to those live at the moment, but we're trying to get those. We are happy to have you. KarenCataline.com is where you find it, and you can listen live by clicking on the big blue banner, either the left side for New Hampshire or the right side for BBS Radio. Several weeks ago, I tracked down this wonderful guest who had a book coming out, and I promised I'd have him back when his book came out. And sure enough, it did. His name is David Risalata, and he's currently a writer for Sons of Liberty Media. He earned a Master of Professional Writing at Liberty University and a Bachelor of Social Work, which is one of the things we have in common. And he's published two books, Not on My Watch, Exposing Marxism in Education, and Psychopolitics in America, A Nation Under Quest. But his new book, which we're about to talk about, is called Without a Shot Indeed, Inducing Compliance to Tyranny Through Conditioning and Persuasion. What a title. Welcome, David Risalata, once again to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. That's moi.
How are you today?
It is great to have you. Your book finally came out. Let's just give you the floor here and let you talk about kind of a general idea of what led you to write the book and what are some of the things we want to that we're going to find and why we need to buy it, because it does sound fascinating. I haven't seen all of it yet, but please, go ahead.
One of the bigger points that I've tried to make in this book is that as a society, we are constantly under the microscope. I mean, the masters of human behavior, the psychologists, the psychiatrists, you know, the people that study human behavior have everything broken down into all these models of behavior through which they view us. And I tried to explain some of these models, how they developed. You know, basically the science of human behavior is kind of a conglomeration or a combination of Skinner's theories of behaviorism, Darwin's theories of evolution, Pavlov's theories. So, you know, throughout 2020, we witnessed the COVID-19 thing. The last two chapters of the book really get into the models from which they applied the COVID-19 narrative, mainly the health belief model.
How did you find that out? How did you know what theories they applied? Did you do it backwards, outside in, or did you find or speak to somebody who knew that these were the theories that they applied
to if I came across the study or I heard him mention something, I used keywords, I looked up things, and I came across the study that was done in 2014 in Singapore. This was actually in the Singapore Medical Journal.
Really?
But they did this study on how to get people to comply with mask mandates in the face of a health threat. And it was based on what they call the public health belief model. Okay. Mm. And you can look it up, the health belief model. Well, I cite all the sources on the health belief model that I used. And it goes off of what people's perceptions are, you know, so perceived threats, perceived benefits, perceived barriers, all of these things are examined through the lens of the health belief model. What are the barriers that people are going to face to implementing the recommended health actions? What are
right.
the benefits that people think they're going to get from following these recommended health actions? Now, the funny thing is when you really get into the health belief model, it also has some keywords called cues to action. Okay. Mm. Now, the cues to action, the health belief model is a stimulus-based model. Okay. It's a stimulus response model. Okay. So basically,
let me stop you there for just a second, David, because because we have a nice, healthy amount of time to kind of drill down, as they like to say. You said something so darned important, I don't want it to be missed. What it sounds like you said, and this is something a lot of us have had a hunch about for a long time, is that the masks, the desire to get everyone to wear masks on their face, which happened in the entire Western Hemisphere, practically, right. everywhere, came before the virus, not after. It was a preconceived notion. We want to get people to wear masks, and this is how we're going to get to do it, regardless of the facts on the ground, regardless of the deadliness of the virus, which wasn't very deadly.
Right.
And I've been screaming about that for a long time. It sounds like I'm correct that they were wanting to get people to wear masks. Did you do any research as to why it was so important to them to do that?
No, that I haven't done. I figured it goes along with the idea of destroying identity. You know, there was a book I read that said that the more people feel isolated from one another, the less likelihood it is that they're going to be able to come together and rise up against anything, make any difference, affect any change at all. And that was in a book actually about pandemics. Okay.
Absolutely,
some of that. Yeah.
Yes. And so let's just put a fine point on that. My listeners have heard me read to them the information by, it's way far away. It's hard for me. It's on my bulletin board. I keep it on my bulletin board. Turi Karpo, about did you know that it was discovered that covering someone's nose and mouth makes them submissive and is the beginning of, rushing ahead here, but it's the beginning of erasing individuality to make everybody look, behave, act the same. It makes them submissive, like women in burkas, and they have found this. So now we know it was about the masks all along, and the left marched in lockstep in submission to force other people to do it with mask mandates. A lot of us knew that. Only now are we finding out that that is true. Okay, so forgive me. I just wanted to point that out. Really important. And now you're going to move on to how they came about to manipulate us to do what they wanted.
Yeah, so the health belief model is a stimulus response model. And so they basically knew, and they reviewed all the literature. The study they did in 2014 was a review of all the techniques that they used under the health belief model that they used before to get people to comply with mask mandates, right? So they had a very good idea going into this. So then I mentioned cues to action. Cues to action are the stimulus being used to prompt people into action. And in the model itself, it describes media and government agencies being the ones responsible for framing the messages or framing the cues to action to get people to act.
Give us an example.
So,
of these cues to action that we actually watch that people can identify? Because we know there were many, many cues to action, and everybody was speaking like with one giant megaphone.
Yeah, I think the biggest ones that people can relate to, and some of them go all the way back before even COVID-19 supposedly hit our shores. If you remember, like in November of 2019 timeframe, you saw on TV, on the news, the Chinese people in the hazmat suits dragging people out of apartments and spraying everything down with disinfectant.
I love that you mentioned that. I was thinking that a long time ago that videos don't come out of the communist Chinese country without being well planned. And yet all of a sudden, we're seeing videos of the Chinese over and over and over again looped that they're all running around in masks. They're all running around spraying everything down. A perfectly obvious cue.
Yeah. And then when it came to our shores, we saw the trucks being filled up with alleged corpses outside of hospitals and all that, only to find out later that hospitals were closing down because they didn't have any patients.
Unbelievable. Another fine point. And you know, David, again, I'm going to interrupt. I'm sorry, but this is important to slow down, because your book really addresses the manipulation, the psychological manipulation. And when that's you right. have media that are like drive-bys, like Rush Limbaugh calls it, Rush Limbaugh was the one to start that term, the drive-bys, they get all the benefit from the propaganda up front. And then when they correct themselves, or sometimes they don't bother, the damage is already done, right?
Well, there's something that certain people need to understand something. And, you know, when I talk about models of human behavior, or what people know about human behavior, they've done so many studies into people's reactions to media and how media affects attitudes and how it influences people to change their beliefs, or if it doesn't influence to change their beliefs. They've come to the conclusion, and this is a common thing that you find, like Cass Sunstein wrote about it in his book. I found the same thing in books on media, and it just repeats itself over and over again. People don't know what to do with information that contradicts what they previously believed, you know? And people also are more apt to use whatever information that's coming into them right now. They don't do the work. This is what they believe. I'm not saying that this is the way people are. I'm saying that this is what psychologists and people that form media messages believe. People receiving information right now, they don't take the time to compare it to what they knew 6 months ago. And so they're more likely to just go along because it takes work to
Well,
do
and
that.
They also don't want to admit that they were wrong or misled or fooled. Mark Twain was credited with this. It's easier for a person to be fooled than to admit that they were fooled.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then with the whole mask thing too. Here's one of the things that I really dived into. I mean, everybody's familiar with the term virtue signaling.
You
know what I mean? But the thing is that there's also another term called effort justification. And that comes about when people can't, it's like a cognitive dissonance thing. When people can't explain their actions, or they can't justify their actions, like nobody could really come to any real sensible conclusions about why they're wearing masks. So then they justified their efforts, you know, so they just went ahead and complied. And so then they justified their efforts by saying they were doing something for the good of humanity, because they were tricked into believing that they were carrying a virus and that they were a carrier, a non-symptomatic carrier.
David Rissolato, we have to take a quick break. So hold that thought. Because another very important point, very few people, we talk about the PSYOP, but we don't often get professors and people who know, who've done the research, to talk about how indeed they were willing and able to put a PSYOP on all of us. Only now, well over a year later, are we beginning to examine this sort of thing. Thank God we are, too. David Risalotto will stay with us. You're listening to Spouting Off here on the BBS Radio Network and the K-Star Radio Network. We'll be right back right after this. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening, and if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off.
Listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
And welcome back. We're talking to David Risalotta, author of the brand new book, The Disturbing... Wait a minute. Nope, I keep finding... All right, first, you can find David Risalotta at defenseofournation.com. And his book is, where is it? David, where? What's the name of your book, and where can they get it?
It's Without a Shot Indeed, Inducing Compliance to Tyranny Through Conditioning and Persuasion. And yes. I know for sure it's available on Amazon. You should be able to get it at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million and all that as well.
Hilarious? It's so big on my page. I looked right past it. Without a Shot Indeed, Inducing Compliance to Tyranny Through Conditioning and Persuasion.
What I like to say about this book is that it's a little book with a big punch. It's only 150 pages, but the information in there and the sources I use, you know, I mean, I'm not just talking. I'm not just mentioning something, effort justification, for example, because that's my opinion. There's, you know, psychology journals and communications journals cited that are backing up what it is that I'm saying. There's like 170 references in there.
Wow. And that's great. And is it also an ebook? Can people get it on an ebook?
Yes. Yes. If you're a member of Kindle Direct or whatever it is, then it's probably free, I think.
Oh, wonderful. I have a Kindle. Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. It's a very interesting thing that we were talking about right before the break, that people have their ego all tied up in not being wrong. You know, nobody likes to admit it. The funny thing is, once you do it and you get the hang of it, it's not that difficult to do. There's nothing like having ego about being able to admit that you were wrong. I mean, that's inside out logic. But it is hard for people if they've been doing the same thing and then they feel as if they need to justify it. You were talking about before the break, wearing masks that people weren't exactly sure why they were doing, but because they were complying, then they became adamant and it was almost like a cult. I'll tell you the one that I just loved, and it's even family members who said this. It was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard, and this came out of the mouths of people who are smart. They said, my mask protects you from me, and your mask protects me from you. Now, number one, that's a very socialist kind of view. It means I have to sacrifice my liberty for you or I'm a bad person. But how come a wall or a barrier only goes one way? Why would a mask only protect you from me and not me from you. It's insanely stupid, and yet look how many people they got to do it. I bet they are thrilled.
The insidious part about this, Karen, is that the reality is that wearing a mask will prevent the ill person from spreading their germs, like in a controlled environment, in a sterile environment. I mean, there's studies that show that, okay? What the lie that everybody fell for, you remember way back at the beginning of the thing, is the fear of being an asymptomatic carrier, right? Remember, they kept pushing that word all the time, asymptomatic.
Right,
people,
right.
That's where people started thinking, well, I could be asymptomatic, so me wearing a mask is protecting other people. And that's mm-hmm. the hook that they use. And so then the effort justification, that comes from Leon Festinger's theories of cognitive dissonance, where people, they don't know that they're behaving in ways that go against their beliefs, and they can't explain why they're behaving in these ways. That's the dissonance. So then they justify their actions, hence, you know, because of the efforts that they're putting into it. So people justify their action. And this, look, this is what they know about human behavior. This is what they know. So they're like, well, we can do this because this is the way people act.
And they're using this for good. Like the Wicked Witch of the West, they're using this for evil rather than good. They're using the information they know about human behavior and human psychology for evil in order to subjugate a people. And to get them to hand over their liberties without even firing a shot. I remember, I don't know if you remember, David, that during the Obama years, people were reporting, I don't know if how accurate it was, that Obama was actually meeting with people on psychological behavior. He was meeting with behaviorists. Do you remember that?
He signed an executive order authorizing the use of psychology and the social sciences to study and influence. Like Cass Sunstein's book, Nudge, is based on all that. As a matter of fact, Karen, there's another big document that just came out. What you need to look up is Mind Study or Mindspace. This is a big document from the UK. It's 100 pages long, and it talks about exactly what we're talking about here. It's like the government admitting that, we're going to use these little nudges and we're going to use what we know about behavior and controlling the environment to influence people's behavior to get them to act the way we want them to act.
And what's even worse, and you and I know this and our listeners know this, the way they want us to act is to hand over the most precious thing they've got, their God-given liberties, to hand over the country that they love to communists who our founders, our founders created, and our relatives, our great-grandparents, some of them gave their lives to prevent. And that's why it's so deadly and diabolical, because power of this kind in the hands of people who want to affect socialism and communism. The interesting thing is that people know that, but they don't put two and two together. Some of them know that psyops are being used upon us. Others of them know that there are avowed and secret communists in our government. Just talk to Trevor Loudon about it. He's been reporting it for decades already, or for a long time. You put the two together, and what you have is something a lot of people don't want to admit. Let's talk about the psychology of people not wanting to admit that things are a lot worse than they would like to believe. Did you do much study on that? There are a lot of people, even Republicans on our side, who are saying, the pendulum will swing the other way. Don't worry about it. The Republicans will get in, despite the fact that we have evidence that an election was likely stolen. We have evidence that they don't care anymore what we think. They believe they've locked it up. So
I always thought that it was impossible for Joe Biden to win the election because, as critical as I was of Donald Trump, his election was a complete repudiation of liberalism. And Joe Biden was Obama's vice president, of course, and there's just absolutely no way that the American people would have voted for him legitimately. I just don't believe it for a second. But as far as politics go, I'm one of those that believe, have you ever read Carol Quigley's A History of the World in Our Time, Tragedy and Hope?
Mm-mm.
Goodness gracious, I've never read the whole book neither. I'm not even going to pretend to claim that I did.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 1,300 pages long. But
there's
he says something interesting in there to the effect that our political system is one where the two political parties are working hand in hand on certain key objectives while pretending to oppose each other on everything else. So when you look out into the world and you see the left and right fighting, well, that's what they want you to think they're doing. But if you look really closely, I mean, even during Donald Trump's presidency, and this is something that I talk about in the first chapter of this book, mm-hmm. even during Donald Trump's presidency, I mean, he did a wonderful job of insulting the left and shooting out these tweets. But one of his first acts was signing a spending bill that was put together by Schumer and Pelosi. And in meetings on that bill, he shunned Republicans, didn't let any of them in. And all throughout his entire presidency, he signed every single spending bill that was given to him.
Are you suggesting that Trump was colluding with the left? Because I don't think so.
Well, I'm suggesting that on certain policy objectives, I'm saying that the government, that no matter who's in office, you're going to get the president spending money. You're going to get the president in engaging in the wars. You're going to get the president the same overall agenda while everybody else is bickering over all this other stuff that's not
at the risk. I don't want to go too far down this path, but it would be fun to kind of go there after the next break. I believe, and I know we disagree on Trump. I don't have him built up to any kind of a god. I'm Jewish, and we don't believe in making gods of people, whether they're monarchs in Britain or presidents here. However, I don't believe that the left would have demonized Trump anywhere near to the degree that they did unless he was a true threat to them. And his philosophy, his ideology of America First was like kryptonite to these people. They want to manipulate us into hating ourselves, hating liberty, hating America. And Donald Trump represented the exact opposite of that. Would you agree with that?
Well, that was the perception. Have you read, there was something, when you first contacted me on the first article of mine that you saw on resisting tyranny, I quoted a book, The Rape of the Mind by Joost Mierlo, and he was he survived Nazi interrogation and went off and became a psychologist for the Allied forces and did a real in-depth study of the brainwashing process, mind control, propaganda, and all that. And he said in that book, and this is another concept that I've related to other source materials, he said in that book, he said that the main agenda of the totalitarians is to frame every issue in a manner that it traps you in a way of totalitarian thinking. So they're in control of both narratives, you know, and then
those
if you look at another book.
Tactic. Well, hold on before you give us, you're going to have to give us a bibliography with the podcast, okay? In fact, I'll ask you for that, and I'll post it along with this podcast. If you can put a bibliography, you are among the most well-read people on this topic that I know. people ask me who to believe. You know, because there's all this contradiction. And what I say is, if you discount everything, that makes no sense. But if you have a basic fundamental understanding that free will and liberty is a moral imperative, then you don't get caught buying into or just completely discounting the latest fad. Does that make sense?
And that's exactly it. That's exactly true, Karen. You know, you have to recognize the propaganda. You know, I don't blame people. I don't get into arguments with people that support Trump. I mean, I understand people's support for Trump, man. His election was a complete repudiation of liberalism. You know, it is complete. I just have my opinions, and my opinions are based on things that I've seen him do and things that I've read. But whatever the case may be, You know, to compare what I just said about in the book Rape of the Mind, there's another book called Manufacture of Consent, The Political Economy of the Mass Media, where the author, and there's a quote from that book at the beginning of my chapter on the media, where this guy says that the media is based on the propaganda model, and the mainstream agenda is to push the mainstream narrative, and that any opposition to the mainstream narrative is allowed to exist to give the impression of freedom of choice, but it's controlled, and it serves the purpose of defining what the opposition is supposed to think. So then, you know, you're talking about communism. Well, communism was infamous for the concept of controlling the opposition, you know. Mm-hmm. So the job of the media then is to frame public thought, to frame public opinion, and to keep it trapped within the confines, as Mirlu says, of a narrative that serves the totalitarian agenda. You know, so in other words, they don't care
there.
If.
Okay, go ahead. Huh? Go ahead.
They don't care if you vote Republican or if you vote Democrat. You know, either one serves your agenda. You know.
You know what? When I was in grad school, I heard someone make a case like that. It's like giving you the choice of a red car or a blue car.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's your choice. On that note, we're going to take a quick break, and this is our final break. And when we come back, we'll wrap it up with David Risalata, author of the new book, Without a Shot Indeed, Inducing Compliance to Tyranny Through Conditioning and Persuasion. We'll let you know how to get that book, and maybe we'll get David to put together a brief bibliography of some of the things that he has referred to in this interview. We'll be right back. You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline on the BBS Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Back to the Friday edition of Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. You're listening to the BBS Radio Network and also K-Star Radio Network. Always delighted to have them along. And they put us out there live, and then the shows are repeated over the weekend. So we appreciate that very much. We're talking to David Risalata, who's a deep thinker, and it is so much fun to talk to him. Also, he served in the Marine Corps, the U.S. Army, and he's a writer for Sons of Liberty Media, earned a Master of Professional Writing from Liberty University, and he has a bachelor's in social work. How about that? No wonder I love talking to him. And he is author of the new book, Without a Shot Indeed, Inducing Compliance to Tyranny Through Conditioning and Persuasion. David Risalata, thank you for staying with us for this last segment.
Sure.
Yeah. So over the break, we were talking about how you have a chapter in your book about ADHD, and you found somebody who actually admitted the purpose of what they're using, overusing Ritalin for. People have suspected it, but sounds like you found some evidence of that.
Yeah, there's a journal, and I'll find it. I'll put together a bibliography for you. I won't be able to do it right away, but I'll get to it over the weekend.
Oh, that's okay. I'll post it.
There was a psychologist that admitted in one of these journals that they understand the drug's mind control properties. And so one of the reasons why I chose the word conditioning for the title of the book is because if you think about what's going on in school, if you get a child, you know, there's some states out there that give the teachers absolute authority to make a determination that a kid needs to see a psychologist. Then they go to the school psychologist and right off the bat, they're given Ritalin, you know, but there's other things that are going on, you know, with critical theory. And, so kids are being pumped into their
critical
their
race
heads.
Theory, which parents are finally critical. Starting to stand up against.
Right.
So let me so just say really quickly, I posted something. This fabulous woman named Tatiana Ibrahim.
Yeah, I saw that.
It has gone viral. It's on my Facebook page. It's on my Facebook professional page. I'm going to probably post it on my website. She is a perfect example of someone who will not back down and who's clear about what she stands for. So she's an emerging leader, no question about it. Okay, go ahead.
So they're using critical theory to put new ideas in kids' heads, and then they're using B.F. Skinner's operant conditioning principles to reinforce these ideas. You know, if a kid sticks out or stands up against some of this stuff, well, then they isolate them and then they treat them bad and they make them look like that he's not part of the regular crowd.
Exactly.
You know, and what B.F. Skinner said in Beyond Freedom and Dignity is that fear of approval and non-approval in social settings like that can be a tool that's more powerful than a full-blown police state as far as getting compliance.
And it has been used in the past in history with communist and socialist regimes.
Exactly.
David, I hate to make more work for you, but it just occurred to me that because we're minorities in the mental health or who have mental health background or whatever, most of them are liberals, might be interesting to see whether leftists, people who are card-carrying liberal leftists, whatever, I believe they're more susceptible to social pressure than conservatives are. Maybe we ought to get a psychologist or somebody who can do a study on that. I bet a study has been done because they're, you know, I grew up being rebellious, even to a fault. I don't know if it's to a fault. When someone told me I had to do something, I always questioned it. I questioned authority. Isn't that what the left said they used to do? They were for questioning authority when the authority was what they disagreed with. Now they don't want to be questioned because they are in authority.
Exactly.
David Risalata.
They got to stop the counter-revolution.
I know. Hate to do this, but we are out of time. So I wish you tremendous success with this book. I want people to really study this out because through information, you can see what it is they're doing and then have the courage to admit maybe you were fooled. It's not the biggest sin in the world. We've all been fooled one time or another, and people need to admit it. Any final thought before we let you go?
No, that was the biggest point. I concluded the book by saying that if you take anything out of it at all, these people think that we are stupid and that they can study our behavior and manipulate it at will.
And like lab rats.
Yes.
Yeah. So your book really contributes to helping people be enlightened about what is actually going on because it ain't what they say. Thanks so much, David Risalata, for joining us. Best of luck with the book.
Thank you.
So that about does it for us on this edition of Spouting Off, number 226. Stay tuned next week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, when there will be oh so much to spout off about here on Spouting Off.